Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 14th of October, recording at 7:37 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first, the stock market and oil. As you know, on Tuesday, we had that small downside key day reversal in the oil market, which marked a potential peak for the short term, not as far as the long-term secular bull market is concerned. Now, yesterday, we did not get follow through. We did in the morning, but it's all down to how it actually closes. And usually, if those are good signals, we get follow through on the next day. And more often than that, this starts the ball rolling and you get consecutive days move more often than not. But yesterday, after oil weakened another dollar or so, it then rebounded and closed up over a dollar on the day. And today, it has pushed through into new high ground. And as I speak, we're looking at crude at 54.70, up 106. It has been as high as 54.88. Now, you know my view on this connection here between the stock markets around the world and crude oil. While crude oil is rising at these levels, that stock market rally, that very good rally that we saw from the mid-August lows, is history. Conversely, were oil to fall back and move under $50 and stay under $50, then I really do feel that stock markets would have a very good chance of at least stabilizing and testing the recent highs. Now, that is the big factor. And, you know, we can calculate and adjust for inflation and talk about efficiencies of oil use and so on. Well, none of that matters in terms of stock market sentiment right here, right now, in the short term. This is the dominant factor as far as sentiment is concerned, and the stock markets are going to move in knee-jerk step behind these moves in the oil price. Now, there is another factor as well, and that is the horse race between President Bush and Senator Kerry. Now, in September, we had Bush push well into a lead in the polls, and that actually started in the middle of August, along with the stock market rally, when oil was also coming down. Bush has lost that lead, and so now we have these two competitors heading into the home straight here, neck and neck in the opinion polls. And I have mentioned over and over again and illustrated a number of times in that colorful graph that I put up that an incumbent win, let alone a Republican incumbent win, is worth about 10 percentage points more for Wall Street on the annual return, in other words, how it does for the year, than a loss by the incumbent party. You know, that's not a political statement. It's the old devil you know versus the one you don't. And the investment community is nervous about Kerry because of the spending programs and particularly because of the tax hike talk. So over the long term, it probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference. And the secular bear trend is what's going to exert the biggest influence, causing, as I've described so many times here, as a generation. I define the secular bear as a generation of gradually declining P/E ratios because investors are willing to pay less for shares each time they rally, let alone each time they sell off. And a generation, the other side of that is, of course, a generation long period during which equity yields gradually increase, eventually taking us back, I feel, quite close to the yields that we saw for the S&P in the second quarter of 1982, when the S&P 500 index dividend yield was 6.21. What are we now? A little over 1.7%? 1.8%? Okay. Now, the other factor that I'm going to jump right on to is what on earth happened with the LME yesterday. because I mentioned in my comments that I would comment on that. Now, my feeling is that the LME, well, as far as the broking fraternity there is concerned, I mean, that really is a club. Everybody knows what's going on, although those firms are rivals. They are going to experience similar trends, or they're going to see similar trends among their clients. And while China has been the big story in terms of the demand for LME metals, the big secondary contributing factor, of course, has been speculative activity. And that really ranges from you and me, if you've been inclined to do that, as I have been over the last 3 years, to the very big investment banking houses and hedge funds and so on, which will have quite substantial books in this particular area. And you get a lot of people crowding into markets that are basically quite thin, and that produces some very persistent uptrends, as we've actually seen. Now, the LME are really going to be the insiders as far as this activity is concerned, because obviously they're going to be servicing that buying demand. They're also going to see where all the stop orders are. And once markets have had a big run up and a lot of bulls are long, and if that demand happens to lighten, then they're going to look at all those stops on the book and really, whether intuitively or in collusion, and I have no on-the-spot evidence on this, but this is the phenomenon that's occurred over and over again, that they go in and short rather aggressively. Working in concert drives the market down, triggering the stops. You get a great big huge blowout, as we saw yesterday and today with some of these metals, and then they begin to pick up again. Now, I mentioned that I'd been analyzing these metal markets since really 1970, and I've been trading them since 1971. And I've noticed this over and over again, that with the LME metals, more than any other market, you'll get these powerful upward trends from time to time, and obviously particularly during the bullish cycles for this sector. And those will then be interrupted by these hair-raising meltdowns that are all over in a few days, sometimes only a day or two. And they climb back up, but you get these periodic shakeouts occurring, and they are absolutely terrifying when they occur. And for everybody who loses because they didn't have a stop or sees experiences a severe profit erosion, there'll be somebody on the other side of the trade who makes one heck of a lot of money. And I suspect that that's going to be LME ring dealing members more than any other party. Well, you know my attitude on these, and that is buy low, sell high. And these are the supply and elasticity trades, and I'm heartened by the fact that the backwardations still persist for everything except the zinc market. And there are six LME metals, so five of them have backwardations. The one that joined the backwardation club just not long ago, really just about a month ago, was aluminium. And all the others, say, have been in persistent backwardations for well over a year now. And what that means, of course, is that there is a structural shortage of nearby refined metal. And that is why I feel that, that's one reason why, in my view, it wasn't Chinese selling that drove these things down. It may well have been trading selling, and probably a lot of those sales have actually been covered now. So I nipped in and bought some lead, and I may buy a little bit more lead. Is this a safe trade, low risking? Heck no, it's a very volatile market. But my strategy, as you know, overall, is to buy these metals after shakeouts. So that's what I'm doing. Big $64,000 question, of course, is will we see a bigger shakeout? Well, I didn't buy too aggressively, so if we do get a bigger shakeout, I will almost certainly buy a bit more lead because this is a secular bull market that I think is going to eventually carry these metals much, much higher. Doesn't hurt if the dollar is a bit softer, and I'll get onto that in a moment because it is today, not massively so, but it is a bit softer. Now, when I have not followed that strategy with the LME metals, and when I have paid up, I have soon regretted it, either because it takes more time, or I very quickly find myself in a losing position on a short-term basis, and then I have to hold on to the position and perhaps roll it over and so on, and wait for it to eventually move back up. So, in other words, if I pay too much, because I get carried away, then or feel that they're running away from me, same thing really, then I'm not going to do terribly well. And I have done that, as you know, on occasion, not least last Friday when I bought tin because I saw all the others running away on the upside, and I thought tin was probably going to run up out of that range. Tin, incidentally, had a pretty good day. Closed up $325 at 89.25, but mind you, it was down $575 yesterday. Now, I didn't like the break underneath that initial sort of minor support level at 88.50 on the tin, but I was gratified to see it didn't take out the more obvious support area at 8,000, right around that 8,500 level. Okay, now I'm going to backtrack here and go into stock markets, say how to play it. Well, as long as this oil price is rising, I would not be tempted to buy anything in terms of the standard industrial companies. Well, let me just see, far easier to take the possible exceptions. The only exceptions on that would be some of the natural resource stocks, if you don't already have those or are interested in that sector, and that's a buy low, sell high situation as well. Now, we have seen some of the least selling in the emerging markets, and I think that'll probably continue to be the case overall. Now, that's not uniformly consistent. I mean, some of them have fallen back a little bit more, but overall, they show a steadier performance, just as the relative performance, just as they did during that sell-off in July and into mid-September. And that makes me feel that we're not going to see a big meltdown here. For that to occur, I would really have to underestimate what oil does on the upside. And I must say that since oil is still in an uptrend here, it's just shrugged off a key day reversal, there is a risk that that I and everyone else is underestimating this upside. And I'm a long-term bull of oil, as you know. Okay. Do I need to panic out of my positions that I bought relatively recently? Well, I don't think so. I'm not overly concerned about that. I've got to expect a little volatility, particularly with oil moving up. And I don't think that a high in the oil price, a short to medium term high, is all that far away. I thought we'd probably seen it on Tuesday, but that's not the case. So I'll ride that out. I'm certainly not going to be panicked out of my Indian fund, my Thai fund, my Malaysian fund, my Japanese positions. They'll probably suffer the most, being Japan being a developed market, but I'm not going to get shaken out of those positions. If they go up a lot in the next rally, that would be lucky. It's not a forecast. If they were to go up a lot in the next rally, then I would consider lightening. If they were to fall a little bit over the short to medium term, well, then I'd be buying a bit more. Those tend to be core positions. Okay, what about government bonds? With the stock market getting hit in here today on the oil, and that revives the deflationary fears, we get more of the so-called flight to quality, and bonds are having a very strong day in here with the U.S. 30-year treasuries at 113.14, so back above where I first shorted it, and let alone where I stopped out at a small profit. And the JGBs are getting a similar move overall, so that's fine. I'm looking to come in and to short these bonds again before too very long, but the chart action's a little bit too strong for me to be tempted in here today. It's just too risky. And if I'm going to take risks, and everything has a risk, I'm more inclined to do it in the metals, as you know, not least because they've been so rewarding over the last 2 or 3 years. And I don't think that game is over, obviously, or I wouldn't be doing it. Okay, in terms of currencies, now I mentioned that the dollar was a little softer, only a little softer. It's down just a tenth of a yen here against the yen. But the one that probably most people are eyeballing is against the euro. And having dropped down to that lateral support that I've been talking about, right around in that 122, 20, 122 and a quarter level, it bounced up from that yesterday. We had quite a good tail on the chart, so it couldn't hold that decline, tail on the candlestick chart. And today, when the US trade figures came out, we had the euro push up to 124.20, and it has now it's trading up. Just let's see, what have we got here? Half a cent here, 123.99. So again, the euro is pushing up to the higher side of this range. And the last dynamic, as you know, was on the upside, and although it eased down, it came down more slowly than it had moved up, in other words. So most of the dynamics recently in terms of euro dollar have been on the upside, and that still argues in favor of an upside breakout. But most of these currencies are just locked in tedious, narrow little ranges. And I know a reasonable number of people who are quite experienced and successful currency operators, and they're not interested in here right now. Let's go where the action is. Okay, moving on now to the metals. How are the others doing? Well, gold, another supply and elasticity trade. Gold's at 418 as I speak. You know, that got hit earlier in the week, but it's pushed back up, not quite back up to the highs here. But any decent setback in gold, I feel, is a buying opportunity. This is hard money at a time when central banks are just printing and printing and printing, as you know. And silver, likewise, that's the gold proxy, and that's trading at 706 as I speak. Now, I should probably tell you where that lead closed. I can't remember. Remember, I bought and actually lead got down as low as 805. I didn't see it. And part of the reason why I didn't see it is that my Bloomberg screen, which is on real time, for some reason I got cut off real time and was on to delayed time, so I missed that dip back down. Well, I'm back on real time, and it closed at 8:45. I paid well, my on a broker to broker deal, I got in at a bid at 8:38, and that to my spread bet cost gave me a purchase at 8:40. So I'm looking to add to that possibly. If that comes off, I won't pay up for it. But that lead and beg your pardon, lead had one of the bigger declines here today. You've still got that backwardation though, 890 on the cash versus the 845 close. Okay. Soybeans up 6 in here. Corn, which got up to 207 and a quarter, that east back down. Now these greens do look to me as if this is a bottom area, but really I haven't seen the upward dynamics yet. But we had that last flush out, which may well have marked the lows. I'm not being aggressive in here, obviously, but I do feel this is accumulation zone. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about corn, soybeans, wheat, and oats. I feel that those really can be accumulated down here, provided people have patience, because we don't know how long they're just going to sort of drift around down at these levels. But these markets are cheap, cheap, cheap. Sugar, I should have picked up a little bit of that today, but I was more interested in metals, but still generally steady, and I may well pick up a little sugar. Again, I'm concentrating in the commodities because that is where I feel the best opportunities are, but it is not easy here. Investors and traders all over the world are extremely nervous, extremely uncertain, and that is resulting in some very, very choppy action. I was talking to a friend of mine who's an absolutely outstanding trader. That's all he does, and in terms of his career. And he was just saying, in this market, you know, you get a quick gain, he takes it. And my strategy overall is I do like to look for trends, run trends, leverage up on trends, but we're not getting that type of action, or we're not getting much of that right now. We're getting these very short-term, choppy, whipsaw moves. And so either sit on the sidelines or adapt to the environment while it persists. Okay, lastly on the oil price, that key I mentioned, that small key that we had on Tuesday, that has not stopped the rise of following, because we got no follow through yesterday. Instead, it rallied quite strongly, and I mentioned to you that it nudged up to, or pushed up to, a new high in here today, closing incidentally at 54.76. And usually, the only last point I wanted to make is that usually when we see a key like that, it's usually when it's a warning shot across the bow, as I've described it, means that the actual high probably isn't very far away. You saw that with orange juice on the way down, started to get keys about a month before the big rally commenced, and it didn't. It only drifted a little lower. So my hunch is that oil isn't going to go up a whole lot higher, but we still haven't seen the high. Have a good evening.